from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I just got a phone call from a guy who went back and watched the overtime drive. I'm sure he's not alone.
Oh, that is instant highlight, dreamy material.
Put it on a loop. I mean, that's Detroit Lions football. It's the identity of the team. We asked Dan Campbell about it yesterday, and it's like, yeah, new season, but that's still there.
Did you see, I know we had Brian Baldinger on Friday, and we're going to have him on every Friday.
Yeah.
I asked him about the offensive line, and he put together a little reel I think it was on Monday he actually launched it, talking about the black and blue division and that final drive by the Lions. It was, when you watch, I would actually encourage everybody to go back and watch that. Watch the end zone cut. And you can see absolute perfect footwork and technique by Penei Sewell. If you're a high school offensive line coach, if you're a college offensive line coach, hello, Ann Arbor, watch that footwork by Penei Sewell. It was textbook. It was unbelievable. It was so enjoyable to watch him, as it is a lot of times for those of us that nerd out on O-line play. He was perfect.
The overtime drive to me was like chicken noodle soup for the soul. Like anything that was bothering you for the game, mm-hmm. like that just hit right where it needed to. That was everything you needed to see. Because, John, if we're being honest, for the first four quarters of that game, they were not playing up to a Super Bowl standard.
No.
And I know they won the game. But, guys, we need to start having that conversation. That is the measuring stick all season long. Are you playing football at a Super Bowl caliber clip? There will be things to clean up, and I want to start the conversation there, John. You agree with me that that wasn't Super Bowl caliber?
Correct.
So what needs to improve the most from week one to week two, or where are the areas that you want to see them improve?
I want to see them be better in pass protection. I'm not happy with Jared Goff taking, what is it, two sacks and was four or five more hits. Jared Goff is the key to this offense. Jared Goff is the key to this team. If he gets hurt in any way, shape, or form, even dinged up a little bit, it affects this offense. And if we're going to sit here and claim them as the best offensive line in the NFL, it's not just one drive in overtime that you've got to be perfect on and look amazing, but you've got to be consistently good at protecting your quarterback in a number of different situations. And they were in a large part, but not expecting perfection. I'm just expecting something more than what we saw in pass protection.
17 unanswered points. That doesn't happen if you're winning a Super Bowl, right? That's got to be better as the season goes on. 17 unanswered is not just one side of the ball. 17 unanswered is both sides of the ball. It's the offense who couldn't convert third downs. Some of that's Goff. Some of that's the receiver slipping, timing early in the season. I'm not panicking, but that wasn't Super Bowl caliber. And then defensively, I like that they were getting in Stafford's face, forcing him to be a tough son of a gun and forcing him to get the ball out in a hurry from these awkward arm angles. But ultimately, he did move the ball up and down the field without Puka Nacua and without four offensive linemen. John, that stretch to me was what I reflect back on and go, that can't happen. 17 unanswered. Do I have to remind people about 17 points in the NFC title game a year ago?
No.
They have time to improve, but I think that was most jarring to me. That can't happen. That's unacceptable for a team with Super Bowl aspirations.
But to counter that, and you're right, that's not elite level play. I do think, I mean, as we all heard from Dan, we've heard this a number of times, they were getting the ball off real quick. But on the flip side, some of it is Aaron Glenn needs to adjust quicker how he is asking his corners, slot corners, his nickelbacks to play. You're going to have to play a little bit tighter coverage. Yes, it becomes risky. But that's a risk I'm willing to take if you have three backup offensive linemen and everybody playing out of place. You should be able to get home. There should not be enough time if you're playing press coverage, bump and run at the top of the route to be able to run anything of any depth.
the Lions get up via what, Jamo's 52-yard bomb play down the field. They're up 17-3. You're a football team built on running the ball, right? Game over. Shouldn't go to a coin toss in overtime. The Rams' next three drives, 11 plays, 70-yard touchdown. 7 plays, 76-yard field goal. 10 plays, 80 yards touchdown.
What do you think? What did you see from the rebuilt secondary?
I saw Branch miss some tackles, and he owned it right away after the game. Yeah. Came up to Dan Campbell, said it's not going to happen. The over pursuit on it was the Johnson play.
Yeah. Right?
It was like, should have been like a 4 or 5 yard play. The guy's running down the sideline, over pursuit from Carlton Davis on that play. Like there was some issues tackling in the open field. They're going to get the ball out quick. Everybody knows it's going to Cooper Kupp. Can we bracket the guy? You know, I mean, John, I mean, there's some sheer point about adjustments from Aaron Glenn. Everybody knows he's getting the ball. He got targeted 21 times. He caught, 14 yep. balls? I know they're motioning him. It's easier said than done. It's a point TJ made on Monday, but can you have trail coverage? Can you have high-low? Can you do something to keep him in a little box and force Matthew to scan the field? And if he's got to scan the field, John, that's when Dan Campbell's pass rush comes in
right.
and decapitates Matthew Stafford, no matter how tough he is.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to see some adjustments in the secondary. I thought for a brand-new group, the secondary is very comparable to me to the offensive line on offense. You've got to be on the same page. You've got to know what everybody's doing without seeing. It's got to be a feel. And I think they are still feeling each other out.
Understandable.
And building trust amongst each other. Now, you put a 10-year vet in the offensive line like Zeitler, there's instant trust because you don't get to be a 10-year vet without doing things the right way. And I think Penei Sewell, Frank, they've all been able to develop that trust in Zeitler. Now you've got Carlton Davis along with Brian Branch, who's only in his second year, along with a rookie, Terrion Arnold, Amik Robinson. Like, you've got a lot of new parts and new components in a machine that needs to be well-oiled and all churning and doing things at the same time. That's where I thought they played good, but is there room for improvement? Yes.
Yeah, and that's the key to this conversation. You think they're Super Bowl caliber. I think they're Super Bowl caliber. We got to hold them to the Super Bowl standard. So the question to Lions fans is, hey, better to have this conversation after a win. Where do they need to improve most week 1 to week 2 to be that Super Bowl caliber football team right now? 248-539-9797. Ticket Texter points out Kansas City lost the opener last year and still won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we've seen, what was it?
We get it.
Cincinnati started out 0-2.
Yep.
And they
went on to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes. So that's become a tradition in Cincinnati to lose week 1.
I don't like that tradition.
I would not be a fan of it, but it is one that you can overcome. And thankfully, we don't have to worry about that.
Ticket Texter says, what's impressive? This one says, my request may be unreasonable, but I want Terrion Arnold to get all his growing pains out before they play the Niners late in the season. And we've talked about that. The idea that Terrion Arnold is going to get a little bit of a baptism by fire. He's going to go out there and he's going to learn the speed of the NFL game, what he can get away with, try to avoid some of those calls while still playing aggressive because it's who he is and it's why they drafted right. him. And he's going to figure that out over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, 5, 10 weeks. By the time they play the Niners late in the season, you hope he is not playing like a rookie corner.
Here's one thing that I really liked about the defense, and that was the linebacker play. And you look at the tackle totals. Alex Anzalone is always at the top of the list because he's all over the place. He really did set the tone, especially yep. with the 3 tackles for loss. But on that first play, he really did set the tone. I thought Jack Campbell is taking all the steps I thought he would take in year 2. But then you look and say, well, how come Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph are all in the top 5 or 6? When you have a quarterback that throws the ball 49 times, then your leading tacklers are going to be your defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be
if you looked at it and said, hey, they ran the ball 35 times and your leading tacklers were defensive backs, now you've got concern.
That's an uh-oh. That's a yikes. 248-539-9797. I just wonder if we can have an honest conversation. I know everybody's jacked up about the Lions. Everybody's excited about the Lions. We're all happy they won, but they did give up 17 unanswered points, which was a huge red flag at the end of last year. It's fortunate that they won that coin toss. Because I don't know what happens if they lose that coin toss. I'm thrilled with the way that they just manhandled LA in overtime. But John, if they lose that coin toss, we may be talking very differently this week because they didn't get it done in regulation. They had the ball with the top 5 offense at the end of regulation and they kicked a field goal. Like, they're I hope we can have that conversation without people overreacting. Like, we can talk about things that need to improve with our football team without burying them.
Sure. I mean, and that's the risk you run of nitpicking the team. But that's, we don't have a team that we were talking about in 19, in 20, in 21, where you're looking at the worst defense in the NFL. You're looking at the worst roster. You can't protect the quarterback. There's a lot of things to talk about in terms of what needs to be better from week to week, or hopefully you get there by the end of the year. Right now, we're talking about a team that is capable of putting together a Super Bowl run. And we are trying to find ways, we're nitpicking, because there's no drama off the field. Like, okay, what's the drama? Aleem McNeil doesn't have an extension. Oh, okay, well, he's still on his rookie contract.
John, I don't even think it's nitpicking. Like, it's grading on a curve. When your team's not expected to win a Super Bowl, you maybe get a little grace on some stuff. When you're expected to win a Super Bowl, everything's under the microscope. Welcome to being a team of this caliber. You're going to have things that you focus on, fixate on, and it may sound like nitpicking, but it's out of a deep-seated care, a deep-seated expectation for this football team.
So in the preseason, when you're nitpicking, you're talking about who's going to be QB2 and who's your kicker.
Right.
During the regular season, when you're nitpicking, you're talking about an offensive line that you expect to be the best in the NFL. They showed it in overtime, but where was it throughout the first four quarters? At times, yes, but they need to be near perfect in terms of pass protection, and I didn't see that. Defensively, if you're going to be a team that wins a Super Bowl and not give up a ball that goes off your face mask into the arms of a receiver, you've got to find ways to knock that ball out. Terrion Arnold, don't want to take away the aggressiveness or the coverage skills that he showed, but can you coach it up, and can you make an adjustment so that when you're in the back left corner of the end zone that you turn and look for the ball and you knock it down, or it hits you in the middle of the back, or possibly you intercept it instead of a PI call and they get the ball at the one?
No, it's valid. I mean, listen, we have a football team that's 1-0, and we're all very excited. We also have a football team that blew a 17-point lead and had to go to overtime in week one. I think we can still talk about that, I would hope.
What was it? 14-point lead.
Excuse me, 17 unanswered.
Yes.
A 14-point lead.
Well, words matter.
Words matter. Facts matter as well, John. Thank you. You know, John, thank you. Thank you for being real-time ticket text for me, because if you didn't do it was going to be flooded into the ticket text. We've got Sharon Moore coming up at 7:35 this morning. We'll talk a little Michigan State. What would the spread be if the two teams were playing this week? And of course, we welcome Lions phone calls all morning long. It's 97.1. Talk to you about the place to watch all the best games, and we've seen it ourselves. It's Stadium Swim, the best pool in history. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Six pools, three different levels, perfect view of a massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen. It's a sports fan's paradise. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, with swim-up bars. Nothing better than a swim-up bar. You got a drink in your hand. You're watching your team play. Insta-ready selfie walls. It's a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with the cozy day beds, the private cabanas. Grab a lounge at the center of the action and reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. We're talking Stadium Swim. All sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hot start for the Tigers, who just keep winning. We had a safe word for this baseball team. It feels so long ago. John, I want to try a label.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel about labels. 8 o'clock hour, a label for this team, and I promise it's a positive label, because we have a lot to be positive about with our baseball team, as do we with our football team. But I think it's healthy to have conversation about areas of improvement when the standard is the Super Bowl. Nobody on this show is panicked. Nobody is concerned. We all view this team as a team who will be in the Super Bowl hunt. some would say.
Mm-hmm.
John, it's okay, though, to point out that they gave up 17 unanswered, that they got to overtime and needed a coin flip. It's okay to point those things out. It's okay to point out that Jared Goff was 1 of 8 passing on third down. They were 1 of 9 passing as a team. There was a sack in there on third down. It's okay to say those are areas that need to get better. Now, they should throw the ball better against the Bucs. They're missing Antoine Winfield Jr. They're missing another corner as well. And just Jared Goff, he was great against them twice last year.
Carlton Davis is on our side now, too.
On our side now. Jared Goff should go out and throw for 300 yards this week. They should get into a rhythm offensively, but it's okay to say in week one that was not a Super Bowl performance. Both things can be true.
Yeah.
They are a Super Bowl caliber team that did not play up to that standard in week one.
And here's another thing I'd like to see cleaned up a little bit. Now, again, the goal is perfection, but that's never going to happen. 6 penalties, and it's not necessarily the number of penalties, it's when they happen. The Hutch roughing the passer that extended the drive at the end of the first half. Now, it led to an interception, and the fact that, you know, apparently Matthew Stafford couldn't tell the difference between the pads on the sidelines and the Lions uniforms.
Do you buy this theory? I know Doug and Gator asked Goff about it. Do you buy that? I saw that theory online. That, like, the Lions have created this advantage with the backdrop matching the uniforms and the turf.
Well, you brought up a great point before the show. I mean, the Lions are wearing the same uniforms offensively. Jared Goff has to pick out where his receivers are.
In the end zone?
Yeah.
So it's not really a...
It works both ways.
Yes.
So, I don't buy into that theory. I thought it was funny. But
my
point about penalties, they are something that will kill drives. We saw that when you can't convert on third down because you set yourself behind the sticks on first or on second, or instead of being third and two, it's third and seven, or it's third and long. Insert any number.
Yeah,
it's hard to overcome those in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. We talked about it on Monday. They overcame a game where they didn't play their A game. It's okay to say they didn't play their A game, right?
Right.
I wonder what's allowed from Lions fans this year before being called negative. I think this is a healthy conversation.
I also think that's a huge positive.
It is.
You didn't play your A game, and you beat a good team while not playing your A game.
A team that was in the playoffs last year, and I happen to believe the Rams will be a playoff team this year.
So your B game or C-plus game,
whatever you call it,
was better than what a good team was doing against you.
Yeah. I think goals for week two. Crisper passing game on third down. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Baker hold the ball a little longer than Stafford. I'd like to see it show up not just in pressures. Pressures are great. I don't want to discount pressures. Pressures helped force the interception in the red zone. They helped force a penalty, which kicked them back from the 1 yard line. I don't want to diminish pressures. But again, to win a Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes' ass has to be on the ground because he'll keep the play alive. If you face Josh Allen or Lamar, if he ever gets it right in the playoffs, they're going to extend plays. Their ass needs to hit the turf. Otherwise, you're playing with fire. It doesn't have to be perfect by week two, but that's an area I want to see get better. Not just pressuring. They pressured the hell out of the ball last year. Get home and get sack totals. Because not everybody's going to be Stafford getting the ball out quick. Right. Not everybody has Cooper Kupp, who's open for no reason all the time.
Well, I mean, there's a reason. He runs precise routes.
I know, but it's a bit like even TJ will text us during games and go, how's this guy open?
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's getting the ball. How is he open?
But he doesn't do it just against the Lions. He does it against everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
So
everybody.
That's a trait that he has that's very consistent through, 17 games when healthy.
Yes.
And not that we're going to, break down the Bucs game on a Wednesday. We've got 2 more days to be able to do that. I do think Baker Mayfield will test the secondary a little bit more in this regard. Is he more mobile than Matthew Stafford? I wouldn't say he is, but I think he will be more apt to escape the pocket, extend some of those, plays, and then you're going to have to cover for longer down the field. He's not going to be a guy that the ball is in his hands, out of his hands right away. He doesn't have the ability to read a defense, process it, and execute it like Matthew Stafford does. So he will get outside the pocket, and it's a way to say, can we get home at a 7-step drop where a guy's not going to and not let him outside the pocket. And when he does, because he will at times, are we able to hold up in the secondary on pass defense?
We'll find out on Sunday, and so will Bruce in Dexter. He'll be at the game. He won the tickets. He heard Greg say an elite unit and called in. He won tickets and a VIP tailgate pass for the party at Eastern Market. It's from the Bullseye Event Group, and that tailgate is 3 hours before the game. All you can eat. It's got an open bar, and if you want to be there, you didn't win them. You'll have another chance on Friday, or you can go to bullseyeeventgroup.com. That's Lions tickets and the Lions VIP tailgate. Let's get to Heather's news.
As you know, Lions fans are pumped this season. They're geared up. They're wearing the gear. They're going to games. They're winning tickets here.
Going early to games, too.
Oh, they're very going early. Yeah.
Well, did you see?
Weird way to phrase that.
Fans, when the gates open 3.5 hours before the game, they flooded in. They can't get enough of it.
It's crazy. And, you know, some of the fans are also writing their own hype songs.
Oh.
That's how pumped they are. There's one Lions fan, John Legerty, that wrote his own fight song. It's called All Grit, and he wrote it on the eve of the Lions season opener. Here's a little snippet. I thought it was going to be the All Grit.
Yeah, there was a lot of repetitive
There's a All lot
grit.
Of All Grit in there, but either way, super pumped. A lot of people are, and he says he's got enough songs to make a whole album. Mm-hmm.
When you're good, people will write songs, they'll write books, they'll do all that stuff.
They will. Four former Michigan football players, including Braylon Edwards and Denard Robinson, filed a class action lawsuit against the NCAA and Big Ten Network, seeking more than $50 million. They want to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. Now, the suit, which was filed on Tuesday morning, alleges that college athletes were denied NIL money for decades and seeks to compensate former Michigan players who played before 2016.
I'm curious as to how far back this is going to go. I mean,
are you asking for your own wallet or?
Well, yeah, sure. Why not?
97 is how far they'll go back, right?
Right. But the settlement right now between the House and NCAA goes back to 2019. Why did they pick that date? I don't know the answer to that question.
Is it a statute? I don't know what the rules are.
A former Warren police officer has been sentenced to a year and a day in prison after he was caught on camera punching an inmate and slamming him to the ground. This was during a booking. Matthew Rodriguez's sentence was actually shorter than normal. The guideline is 18 to 24 months, but a judge said that one reason that he received a lesser sentence was because he is no longer a police officer, doesn't plan on being one, and he started his own trucking business. I'm guessing he probably couldn't be an officer because the judge also pointed out a whole pattern of bad behavior by him when he was a police officer. That includes an assault of an inmate back in 2012 and using excessive force against a high school student in 2017. Now, the attorney representing Rodriguez discussed his punishment following the sentencing. Did you hear this? Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl is hoping to regain his wife and his children's trust after he announced yesterday that he had a baby with somebody else. He's been married since 2003. So he made the announcement on Instagram, and his post said, quote, "I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside my marriage. I plan to be loving and supportive parent to her." He went on to say, "I love my wife and children, and I'm doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration toward all of the children involved as we move forward together."
What do you say? I'm not sure what to say.
Us to him or him to his wife.
How do I respond to that story? Like, I don't know what to say to that. I
mean, how many kids does he have?
He has three daughters, 18 years old, 15 years old, and 10 years old. And now a little baby.
But more importantly.
A boy or girl?
A girl.
Okay.
Does that matter if he's got a boy now?
No, I mean, well,
he's trying to get context. He's trying to picture the family dynamic in his head.
I'm trying to put the whole thing together here and say, hey, you're going to have a sister.
But maybe, Heather, more importantly, what does he say to her?
What can you say?
You obviously have to come out with the truth and say, this is...
And that's exactly... He obviously did that to his wife and children. Now he's letting everybody know the truth, which is what you got to do, right? Especially if he wants to be a present parent, he needs to let everybody know. Yikes. Also, yikes, two Delta planes collided on a taxiway at Atlanta's airport on Tuesday morning, and the larger of the two planes knocked over the tail of the smaller plane. No injuries were reported, but it sounds like it was pretty scary and terrifying for the people who were on board because they were both filled with passengers. One was going to Tokyo. The other was going to Louisiana. There was a meteorologist on one on the smaller plane that was going to Louisiana. And he said that it was terrifying. It was taxiing out for the flight from Atlanta to Louisiana, and another plane clipped the back of our plane. Very jarring metal scraping sounds and then loud bangs. He said, we're fine. No fire or smoke. All the passengers were rebooked onto other flights.
And that is Heather with the news. Michigan coach Sherrone Moore is next. We'll give you a hypothetical. What should the spread be between Michigan and Michigan State? That's before the hour ends. And a positive label for the Tigers in the 8 o'clock. It's 97.1. We got a lot to talk about today on a Wednesday. Tarek Skubal will join us at 9:35 this morning. We're going to talk about the Tigers in the 8 o'clock hour. I've got a label for this team. It's a positive label. I want to know if you guys agree with me. Win last night 11-0 against the Rockies. Still within 3 games of a playoff spot. We just got done talking to Sherrone Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan and Michigan State through 2 games this season. I think MSU's looked like there's a spark there. And with Michigan, a lot of the hope has already quickly faded. So I wonder right now what you would put for the point spread if those two teams were playing this Saturday.
Do you know what it was prior to
the season? Yeah, like it was 20-plus, 21, 22, 23, something like that.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, you'd bet the Spartans all day at that line. What do you think separates the teams right now? How many points?
I think you're probably looking at 10.5 for Michigan. And the reason I say that is Michigan State's offense, while I do believe they probably have the better quarterback, I don't know. I think the difference is going to be Michigan's defensive front. I don't think, at least I'm very hopeful that what we saw on Saturday is not representative of this defense. However, Texas's offensive line, Texas's offense is much better than Michigan State's offensive line and offense. And so I think they will be able to get a number of stops. I don't know how much Michigan's able to score because I have no idea what they're going to do offensively even this week. Still trying to, find an identity. But I do think, especially since it's in the Big House, that this is going to be one that Michigan will probably go into the game with about 10.5 point spread. As of now.
Yeah, and again, this will change. I think it could be 7.5. I really do.
Because
I don't know that Michigan's scoring enough points to cover double digits right now in a rivalry game. And I do think with MSU, they still got to get their offensive line going, right? The run game still isn't really humming. But Chiles, one or two NFL throws can break open a game, and it's what helped them in that game on the road against Maryland. I would put it at 7.5 right now, and I may even take the Spartans with 7.5 right now. I don't want to overdo it, but John, I really liked what I saw from MSU on the road. Turnovers, yes, part of the story, but the wow plays, the spark that the program has been missing for years appears to be there. And with Michigan, I don't see that spark from this team right now. Even against Fresno,
right,
there was a one possession game in the second half. I don't see a spark from them.
No, and that's the concern, is what are they going to do offensively to generate offense? And I mean, defensively, I think they will be okay. I don't think they're going to be as dominant as I once thought, but I think they will be okay. And I just look and I say, offensively, what are they going to be able to do to generate some confidence in this offense? And there's so much football to play between now and when Michigan State actually comes to town. And the team that got better from week one to week two was Michigan State. But playing in College Park, yeah, they're on the road. Playing against Maryland is vastly different than playing against Texas.
Oh, no question about that.
So it's kind of, I don't know, I'm not as in tune with betting lines as you are. So it's somewhat throwing a dart at a dartboard.
Yeah, I guess it's just, it's without overthinking it, just how many points separate these two teams?
I would say at a minimum, they've cut the line in half.
Sure. From what we thought. See, that's how crazy things are. We have these ideas of what we think of these teams. And I think in college football, especially with the lack of continuity, teams using the portal, Michigan State's got like 60 new guys. Michigan's replacing an entire offense for the most part. What we think we know about this team, these teams quickly changes once we actually see them on the field.
Well, and I mean, that we talk about the useless exercise that it is, the top 25 in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, where are they? Michigan has gone from a top 10 team down to 17. Notre Dame is bouncing around. Now, I mean, what do we believe about them going to get up against Purdue this weekend, following the Northern Illinois? Like, there's still so much that we don't know about. What? How good is NIU? How good is Texas A&M? We're trying to figure those things out because there's just not a lot to go on, and especially when you're talking about college football. Like, I think Notre Dame is still a really good team. Could they still make the playoffs? Yes.
When we talked to MSU before the season, we thought there was a gauntlet that they would lose every single game, and it was that stretch with Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, and Michigan. I think it's possible they win one of those games. Oregon hasn't wowed. Iowa, I mean, low-scoring game. You're going to have a chance in that one. We just talked Michigan. It's much more likely. Hell, even Boston College could be a big road win for MSU coming up after Prairie View. Like, there's a chance for them to pick up a couple marquee victories in Jonathan Smith's very first season based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and you're just looking for a program win, right? And I don't necessarily know that, you were an underdog going to College Park. Is that going to be classified as a program win? You're an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Big Ten matchup.
I think it was an important win if they're going to make a bowl game.
It's an important win, but I don't know if it's a program win. Boston College, it would be an important win. I don't know if it's a program win.
So what's a program win for year one for MSU? Is it beating one of the big four in the middle of the schedule?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're looking at teams of that stretch that are beatable, sorry, I don't think they beat Ohio State. Is it, could they beat Oregon? Are they as good as Boise State? Are they, could they be as good as, Idaho State? I mean, I don't know. And for Michigan, again, there is certainly no certainty that they're going to, that Michigan is going to just, walk all over them.
Yeah, preseason, I would have thought Michigan will suffocate them.
Yeah.
I don't think they're running away with it. I think the defense is clearly good enough to win that game for Michigan.
But it comes down to a matter of trust. How much of the defense do you trust?
Exactly. And that trust has been, we could say, broken. It's certainly not what it was before the season.
It's, I would say, eroded.
Eroded is a good word, John.
Thank you.
248-539-9797. Some of your responses. What would the spread be for Michigan and Michigan State if they played this week? We'll get to the Tigers in this 8 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.